You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Yes, you can hear that woman messing around with her headset. It's very loud. Hey.
Someone else has had this headset on.
Do you think?
Yeah, because it's different. Because I have such a little head, so I have to have the thingies up to their wazoos. Yep. But anyway, it's good now. I seem to be low.
Sabrina, questions.
Here we
are. A bit low?
Yeah. Now I got some new glasses. Amber,
oh, they're very swanky.
Because I could not find my last ones.
Did you lose them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I lose.
It happens.
Anyway, so they're quite bold, aren't they?
They're very, very. They've got a pink flash.
Mm.
Is that? Slim has just buzzed through to our ears to say she looks like Dame Edna. He's very rude.
About same age, Slim.
Oh.
Just because he wears boring executive glasses.
Sabrina,
yes.
Help, have I killed my citrus tree? On the back of last week's show, I found 3 out of 4 of my citrus have gall wasp, so I've pruned it hard to remove it. Questions, have I killed them?
No.
What aftercare do they need? Once the clippings have been in the sun, double bagged for 3 weeks, can they go in the green bin?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
You haven't killed it, and you have to remember that lemon trees can be pruned really hard, but not constantly. So now I said this on Saturday, if you find a gall and there's no holes in it, it means that the egg is developing into larvae, and that you don't want that, so you've got to cut the gall off. If there are galls with holes in them, they have left the building, so you don't need to cut those off because they're gone. They're see you later, alligator.
Yes.
So you haven't killed it. You can prune them quite hard. It's important to keep trying to control them because if you don't, you're breeding more and more and more and more gall wasps. Psst, psst.
Wasps. That was from Jan in Florida. She says, I'm halfway through pruning them to remove the lemon tree. We'll end up with fewer than 100 leaves. Yikes.
That's okay. That's okay. I guarantee you it'll come back.
Hold your nerve. Friend of the show is calling in. We spoke to her on Saturday. Did you have a lovely time up there in the tropics?
I love the tropics. Do you know, there are so many insects in the tropics. And because I'm such an invertebrate lover, I actually go to the point of going to hotel management and saying, what do you use to control mosquitoes? Do you spray insecticides? And they probably lie. And they say, well, no, we can't because of human health, so we can't, we're not allowed to, and there's children and we're not allowed to. And I said, I think you are correct because you have lots of little jumping spiders. And they went, spiders? I said, no, the good ones, the really good ones. And you've got lots of little things jumping in the soil in the garden. So
you were just checking to see if they were being ridgy-didge,
yeah,
were you?
Yeah, I was.
Beth in Bonnyfield, friend of the show. Good afternoon, Beth.
Hi, ladies.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. I'm lighting fires.
Ah, ooh, one of my favourite things too.
My question is, I've been reading your book, Sabrina, and you said don't use wood chips for mulch, and I was a bit surprised at that.
Okay, so what happened when we had the polyphagous shot hole borer?
We still have,
and we've got it forever now. What happened was, unless the wood chips are taken down to less than 2.5 millimetres and centimetres rather, and heat treated, then there is a problem where perhaps the polyphagous shot hole borer just goes through and comes out the other side unharmed. The other thing about wood-based mulch is we have Phytophthora, we have Armillaria. If the wood is heat treated, the mulch, it is fine to use because it kills all those pathogens. If you are going to use wood-based mulch, find out where it comes from. Make sure that it is smaller in size. I always like to add a little bit of blood and bone before I lay the mulch down, just so it helps with the decomposition of the wood. But that's why I've said be very careful. I personally don't use wood-based mulch because I'm paranoid about bringing anything into my garden, because I'm just paranoid about bringing anything into my garden. So
if I'm out in the Midwest.
Yeah, are you be okay? Away. Because I don't think borer hasn't got out there. And if you know where the prunings are coming from, where you are, Beth, you should be okay, no problem at all.
If it's locally
chipped. And what did you say to add to it?
Oh, I just add a little bit of blood and bone that it helps decompose the carbon, the wood-based part of it.
And can you put smaller than 2.5 on a compost heap that's got manure and stuff?
Yeah. Absolutely you can.
Should you put blood and bone on too?
Well, I always think a bit of blood and bone in any compost heap does it a world of good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Beth.
Tim is in Busselton. Hello, Tim. What's your question for Sab?
Hi. I have espalier of my fruit trees. I have apple, pears, nectarines and everything.
Beautiful.
And citrus.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how do I fertilise the citrus? Because the drip line is different to what it would be if it was a normal tree.
Yep. So are you doing fertigation? Are you doing inline fertilising or not?
Yes. Well, that's it. I've espaled them that way. So
yeah. Okay. So what you do there is you just, if they're all on, so if you've got citrus with the deciduous ones, because citrus will need feeding every season, but of course deciduous trees don't, then you just add granular fertilizer where the citrus are. And you don't worry with
it.
Yeah, well, you don't worry about the inline fertigation. That's why you would use granular fertilizer for your citrus trees during the winter period.
Right. So I just pretend if it's like a normal tree, just go out further than rather than following the line.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Beautiful.
Which is a kind of mortifying that none of us welcome. Ted is on the phone. Ted, what's your question? Ooh, about gall wasps.
Yeah. Hello, Sir Rita. I was just wondering, can I freeze gall wasp nodules instead of cooking them in the sun?
Yeah, of course you can. You either die by heat or you die by cold.
How big's your freezer, Ted?
Yeah, I was going to say, depends how much.
I can chop them up and put them in the freezer. That's
They're not like putting, lobsters in the fridge, because once you put the gall wasp in the freezer, only need 12 hours of frosting and they're done.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Ted.
Ash is on the line. Hi, Ash, what's your question for Sab?
Hi there. I've just dug up my horseradish to harvest the root.
Yeah.
But it was a real mission, and
this is why Ash
goes straight down.
Yeah, this is why horseradish has become a major weed in some areas where people go, "Oh, I want to harvest. I want to grow my own horseradish," and of course they seed prolifically, hundreds of seeds. And then they send that taproot straight down. So, when you see cartoons of someone pulling out a giant carrot, that's what it's like trying to get a horseradish root out of the ground.
Exactly right. So how can I – so I'm going to replant my little carrots. I've never allowed it to seed.
Yeah,
How can I stop that from happening? If I put it in a pot, can I pick it up every year and replant?
Yes. Okay. Much easier in a pot, Ash. And even if you're putting them in the ground, What the way to get around that is to actually fill the hole with potting mix rather than soil, so that when you go to harvest them and pull them out, you haven't, you know, the root, because the lower roots will spread through. Yeah. But they do really well in a pot.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sabrina. Could I ask you one just very quick little question, please? I replanted my pawpaw tree, the last one carved it.
Yep.
This one, I found several, it's going really well, but I found several seedlings coming up in the garden. Will they produce fruit? The pawpaw tree is one of those that has male and female.
So it's a bisexual?
Fruit.
Hard to know, Ash. Hard to know. If you've got a whole lot of seedlings coming up, you will definitely have male and female. So I would let them all grow up wherever they are until you can see the first flowers. And then you only need one male. Hard to know with the bisexual. Look, sometimes you get bisexual and other times you don't. They'll revert back. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your help.
Okay.
Thanks,
Ash.
Thanks for calling, Ash. Helen is in Geraldton. Hi, Helen.
Oh, hi, girls. Yes, the guy's had some wistringas that had, I think they rotted because they would go brown on the stem and then I'd cut that off and then it seemed to spread.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm desperate to put some more in the same spot.
Yep.
So can I plant them in the same bed?
Yep, you can.
And what do I need to do anything?
I would add a little bit of fresh compost in there. Not a lot. You don't need a lot for wistringias.
Yes.
Just be careful with wistringias that you don't overwater them.
Yes, I think they were on root, so I think, yeah.
Yeah, that and that's the main reason why they rot. Yeah.
And I've still got a container of soil microbes. I'm hoping they haven't gone off.
Yeah, no, they won't have. So, definitely add those to the hole, Helen. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Oh, fantastic. Yep. Oh, thank you so much for that.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Helen, which Jenny has called. Hi, Jenny. What's your question for Sab?
Hello, Sab. Jenny Davies with the property in 2J with the clay soil again.
Yes, that's all right, Jenny. You can't. It's very difficult.
It's not your fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's 2J's fault. Where you live.
I know. Tell me about it. Now, one of your assistants kindly last week told me that Eremophila nivea pink panther is very hard to get hold of, and you indicated that I could propagate it.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how I go about that, please?
Okay, so you need to get the tip cuttings, Jenny. So you need sort of the top 3-4 centimetres.
Okay.
You're going to cut just below a node. Then you're going to take the tip off it. You're going to cut the leaves off those lower nodes. And then you need to, now with Eremophilas, they've got to be in a really sandy, like just mix, if you can mix sand with a bit of vermiculite. So they need a really light mix. And if you can get bottom heat in the form of just filling up a hot water bottle and putting it underneath the pots, that gives them a much better chance of survival. And don't, when you put the cuttings in, mist spray them. Don't use the watering can or the hose. They require very little moisture.
Right. And when do I take those cuttings?
It's probably a little bit early yet. I would leave it for another couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks.
Okay, so I don't have to wait till after flowering. Do it fairly soon.
Yeah, do it fairly soon. And then you can take cuttings again sort of in December.
Oh, okay, great.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. And I can use my dog's electric blanket for my bottom heat.
Oh, that's a perfect idea.
Yes. So
bottom heat.
Yeah. Poor old dog, but nevertheless.
Thank you, Jenny. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
You could also use foot warmers. You know, little electric foot warmers.
I haven't seen them.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to try and gallop over this word.
Mm.
Someone says, I've fallen in love with agaranthemums.
Agaranthemums.
Close.
Yeah, you were so close.
And they seem to grow great here in the coast. How can I propagate them, please? I want hundreds.
Yeah, well, you can get hundreds off. So do you know what an agaranthemum is?
No idea.
It's a daisy bush, oh, basically. Okay.
It's not a chrysanthemum.
No, it's not, but they're all in the same family, Asteraceae family. You would have known that. Okay, so agaranthemums, they are, we call them daisy plants. They grow so easily from a cutting. Little bit cold at the moment to grow them from a cutting. So you can cut, not the very tip wood, you need to come down about 1.5 centimetres. Then you can take a cutting that's going to be 5-6 centimetres long. They grow so easy from a cutting. You can grow hundreds and hundreds from cuttings.
They're very easy peasy. Pretty. I just had a look.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
How do I get rid of castor oil plants?
Oh, God. So castor oil plants, for people that don't know, have those beautiful big palmate leaves. They have a flower and then they get the black berries, and then when the berries ripen, they explode, and they explode their seeds all over the place. They are highly toxic. Every single plant of the castor oil plant is highly toxic. They seem to be very resistant to any herbicide. You need to pull them out wherever you can see them. If you're going to spray with a glyphosate based spray, you will add to need a bit of oil to it so it actually sticks to the plant. And you know they're poisonous because one of the indicators of poisonous plants is where the seed casing has prickles. Ooh. And they sure as hell do.
Gee, that's a handy tip.
Mm.
Did not know that. Joanne has called. Joanne, what's your question for Sab?
Hi, Sam. Sabrina and Amber. I'm just got a beautiful clumsy hedge, like a little hedge.
Yeah.
That's been absolutely full of flower, just stunning.
Yeah.
Now, it's just finishing flower, but I was going to cut it back.
Yeah.
And it's full of bud again.
Oh, really?
That's normal?
Well, they've kind of flowered fairly early. Your cunsiers have flowered really early. So now they're going, my bad. I meant to wait until a little bit later on in the year. Let them go. Let them go, Joanne. Let them go. Yeah.
So I'm just kind of tip pruning the old flowers now.
So the new ones come through.
Yeah, but I've never known it to, so I'm kind of bragging as well.
Humble brag.
I think our seasons are all sort of, you know, the seasons are changing and extending. Yeah. And so plants are going, well, I don't know what's going on here, but look, I'm going to have another crack at this.
Yeah,
Which is great for all the insects. They love the flowers on cunsiers.
Well, the bees
would be in seventh heaven. Yeah. So let it go. Let it go.
Okay. All right.
They're so pretty. I'm just having a look at them.
Beautiful. Stunning.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you,
beautiful
Joanne.
Plants.
Thank you. Bye.
There's a Kunzea baxteri. Baxteri called Mandy
baxteri.
Surprise. I wonder what Mandy did that was so surprising.
Ooh, who knows?
There you go. Sam is in Jarrahdale. Hi, Sam.
Hello, how are we?
Good, Sam.
Okay, my question, I was spoken to you before about dichondra.
Yes.
Yes, growing in my yard.
Yep.
It doesn't grow underneath the shade, so I need some kind of cover that's going to fill in the dirt and be able to stay under the shade. Is there something I can get?
You know why it's not growing in the shade, Sam?
Because there's no sunlight.
Well, no, they will grow in total shade. But the problem you have is Jarrahdale has really cold winters. So it's not going to like being in the dark where it's damp and it's cold.
Yeah.
Now,
I've given up on them.
Yeah.
I've given up.
Oh, Sam.
Oh.
Now, what will grow surprisingly, and you will be surprised at this, is oregano.
The herb.
The herb oregano. Now, if you can get it going gangbusters in spring and summer, it will survive in the winter with no sun.
That's amazing.
It is incredible.
We can walk on it.
You can walk on it, Sam. Oh, now, wow. The reason I know this to be true is that I have, this is what happened in my garden where it's pitch black in winter, gets no sun. And I had the oregano there, I put it in summer. And then I thought, oh, that's okay because it'll all die this winter. It's thriving. And I have used it in clients' gardens that have the same thing where they can't get dichondra going. The big thing is you must get it really growing well in the summer period, Sam.
Okay, okay.
And you can walk on it and it's beautiful.
I'm ashamed of my backyard. It just looks like...
Oh, Sam.
Well, the lawn is terrible. The dogs...
It's this time of year, though, isn't
dogs.
It?
Well, if you've got dogs. What sort of lawn have you got, Sam?
Buffalo. Mm. But a lot of my lawn in the sun is dichondra. It's mainly dichondra.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's only when I get to the edge of the trees. And
that it's in the shade. Yeah.
It's in the shade.
Yeah, yeah. I would put down Greek oregano.
There you go.
Oh, well, I'm going to do it. Thank you so much.
Now,
ladies.
Sam, can you give us a ring in a year's time and let me know how that's going? No, I'm really interested.
Yeah.
All right, I will.
Yep.
All
right. Okay, beautiful. Good man.
I love you both.
Thank you, Sam.
And I'm just looking at Kunzias because I haven't heard of them before.
Kunzia ambigua.
They're so pretty. Why is it called a tick bush? Some of them are. Native pink tick bush, myrtle flowers. Is this just a case of them slapping a kind of European name on something?
No, because you can't get Kunzias. They're an Australian native.
The one here that's called bush myrtle.
Oh, bush myrtle. Oh, because it's part of the Myrtaceae family.
Oh, see, this is when, look at her go.
Yeah.
Encyclopedic knowledge so, she has.
That's why. But I love, there's Kunzia ambigua.
Yeah.
That's a cracker.
How do you kill Plumbago?
Perseverance.
axe. Shovel.
Pick. I'd actually use a pick.
Okay.
I've used a pick a lot. I think they're really, sounds like a name of a child. Oh, a little pick a lot. People don't use picks anymore. I'm telling you, a mattock and a pick is, well... I call it the gardener's friend, but at the end of the day, being on the end of a mattock and a pick.
Oh, a mattock, very satisfying.
Yeah, yeah, and they dig the root up. So how do you get rid of plumbago? Perseverance. You can poison it. It'll come back. Honestly, it'll take you 2 years to get rid of plumbago.
There you go, just perseverance.
Yep.
We have Helen in Albany with an acacia question.
Oh, hello, Helen.
Hello there, Sabrina. I've got this acacia, you know, the honey gem one that weeps?
Oh, yeah.
It was beautiful when I put it in, and now it's losing all its leaves, just leaving the stem, and it's turning yellow. What am I doing wrong?
That's not a good sign.
Oh, no.
Not at this time of the year, Helen. Okay, have you had a lot of rain?
No, not really.
Not really.
It's been in for a year.
Oh.
And is that what it is? Too much water?
Well, I'll give you the list, okay? So, can be too much rain. They're highly susceptible to grubs that eat the root system.
Oh, okay.
Underneath the ground. Get a little hand trowel and dig just around to see if you see any cool grubs. Yep. If you do, invite the magpies in. Throw a few on top of the ground. If the maggies see them, they'll be in there diving down like you would not believe. They can rot as well, and they can also get borer. But if you've got borer, you will see the entry holes of the borer. if it's rotting, have a look at the very base of the stem. The other thing is it can be, but you've had it in for a year, so if it was a nutrient deficiency, they would have had it already. If the leaves are yellowing but the veins are green, then it's got a trace element deficiency. And the only other thing is the bad thing, which is they're rotting.
Okay. All right. I shall do some digging.
Yeah, have a little dig around and see if there's any of those cool grubs tucking into the root system.
Okie dokie. Thanks, Sabrina.
Thanks, Helen.
Thanks, Helen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Judy in Cowtown says, I think I've got gummosis in my four-year-old grafted apricot. It's where the graft is. What can I do?
Okay, so apricots usually get gummosis at some point in time. That's where the gum oozes out of the
can
tree.
Can we please in future ban all use of the word ooze on this program?
I love ooze.
Do you have a bit of ooze?
Moist. Oh. Like that too.
Do you know what has really recently has come to disturb me?
Why is this, Amber?
Lick.
Oh, lick. Yeah, I don't. I've never been. Oh, unless it's you're talking about salt licks.
No, just
I'm okay if
in
salt's
general.
In front of it. Yeah, yeah. I don't like the word gobbing. That's disgusting.
We've just the producers have just weighed in and told us to start behaving ourselves. Why would we do that now? Kathy says
we haven't for years.
That's right. Two and a half
years. Oh no,
we
haven't finished answering. We haven't given Judy's question. So Judy, get a paper clip, unwind it, poke it in that hole. I would also spray the tree with an anti-rot or a liquid copper spray. So give it a liquid copper spray. The bin. What do you call those I just said? The poke it with a shish kebab stick. I'm making all sorts of hand gestures. No, the paper clip. Skewer or a paper clip. Poke it in the hole.
That took three women to get there. Two postmenopausal, one not even anywhere near it. We got there.
Oh,
absolutely.
Now we can move on.
Should we play a tune, Sabrina Hunt? Or would you like to keep going?
No, let's keep going.
Yeah. Okay. What else have we got? Sabrina, I live in Busselton. I have a garden bed at the front of the house that gets full sun in summer and full shade in winter.
Yeah.
Is therefore constantly damp. I currently have a row of liriope that obviously thrive, which I hate. Can you please suggest something that I could plant there that will survive there and may create a small hedge?
Brainia Ironstone, B-R-E-Y-N-I-A. Iron stone.
Brainia Ironstone. I'm going to Google that because I'm thinking about replacing the liriopes.
It's a hedging plant, bigger than a liriope.
Okay, yeah. A liriope is not a hedging plant.
Nope.
Rosalie in Busselton says, good afternoon. Is my ficus too big for this pot? Just at some point, every gardening question belongs on Benny Hill, doesn't it?
I know.
I know they get very big if I plant it into the ground and have very invasive roots. Can I cut back now into a lollipop shape? I have two similar size, says Rosalie in Busselton.
Yep. Rosalie, you absolutely can.
Hack it.
So look, prune hard and then – so prune the top. And what I want you to do is actually prune the root system as well.
They prune the root system.
Yeah.
So
prune
pull
the root
it out.
System, pull it out, prune the top, prune the bottom, repot.
Where can I get a 150-litre grow bag? Says someone in Devon. He's got cider.
Where's this question?
Here. Where can I get a 100? It's not in Devon.
No, I know. I don't know. I don't know. Google it.
She's not a shop.
I'm not a shop. I don't know.
It's
Can't
the first time
that.
In 2.5 years she said, I don't know. Barry is in Wembley Downs. How's it going in the Downs? Are you up in the Downs?
Yeah, up near the water tower. It's
have
beautiful.
You ever pruned too much, Barry?
Probably.
Yeah, you have. Be nice.
It's okay.
Hear it.
We'll look after you. It's okay, Barry.
What's
what can
your question
we do?
For Sabrina?
So I have Kings Park special bottle brush.
Yeah.
About 5 years old.
Yeah.
And one of them has just started dying in the middle branches, and it's I was just wondering what it might be.
Now, there's a bit of bad juju going on with Callistemons all around Perth, mm-hmm. and there has been for the last 8 years, and they are mysteriously dying, but we do not know why. And they're going across all different species of Callistemon, all different sizes, and no one seems to know what's causing it. However, Barry, I want you to prune out those bits that are dying.
Already done, yeah.
Ah, good man. Make sure that you've got a wetting agent in the soil. Give it a little bit of poo, sheep poo, cow poo, not yep. chicken poo. A little bit of tender loving care and hope for the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okie dokie.
Fantastic. Thanks.
All right.
Daniel Thanks, said that a mattock is their secret weapon for getting out Agapanthus.
Makes it so much easier to dig out. Good, yeah. good. So mattock.
Yeah, everyone should have a mattock.
Yeah, I think it's a good name for a dog too, isn't
yeah,
it?
Actually it is, although people might worry when you go down the park and you go, mattock!
It can't be worse than cappuccino!
Oh.
Taco. Oh. Sabrina Hunt, thank you for coming in.
It's been fun playing with you on a Tuesday,
it is,
Amber.
It is. Mm. I won't.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.